I want to remind us again where we have been over the last few weeks, that we have centered around this, the Advent wreath, the Advent candles, to remind us of the light. Again, the first week talking about prophecy and hope, the second week Bethlehem and the preparation, that next week again that joy in the midst of Sandy Hook and all that was so not filled with light. And then, again, this past Sunday, that angel's candle of love, that again, Christ was coming. And today, that center candle, the white candle, just like the candy cane, that purity, that white as snow candle of Christ. That today is a day that we reflect on the Christ, the birth of Christ, the gift that God gives us in, again, giving us His Son. And this morning, as again I reflected on that, as I thought about that, I thought, so often what we read is some of the Old Testament prophecy, and then we read from Luke chapter 2, the story that we did as we began this morning, but sometimes we forget that it does indeed tie together. That indeed, as you look at the Word of God, it is obvious, where God had began and where God continues this story. And so this morning from Isaiah chapter 9, where it says this, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice in the victory. For as the days of Midian's defeat, you have scattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time forth until forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this," the Old Testament. But then again, from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, it says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made or has ever been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world." You see, that light has carried through time and time again, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the beginning until what will be that end of time when we see Him again. But we need to understand a few things about that light, I think, this morning. And understand, first of all, where again the Old Testament prophet, and I believe what Keith alluded to with this Christmas season, is that there is darkness all around us. Even in Isaiah, it says that there were those who lived in that deep darkness. Again, it's just sad to hear all of that takes place in our world, where we as humanity have lost our way as to what is important. Whether it be, again, a tragedy like Sandy Hook, whether it be a smaller and yet even more sick tragedy where someone sets fire and waits for first responders to come and then shoots them. Whether it be a fiscal cliff and worries about what the future is, the world can become deeply dark. And that's why the light is so important. And that's why it is so important for us to see that light, for us to share that light, and for that light to continue to break forth in the world in which we live. In the midst of the darkness, there is hope. And that hope is a God who loves unconditionally, a God who loves so much that he would send his son, a God who would even let his son go so that we might live. In the darkness, there is that light, but there is still the darkness. We need to admit it. We need to affirm it. But we need to not stay and live in that darkness. I heard a story about some good friends that had hung out all the time. And around Christmas, there was kind of a tradition that, you know, the women would get together and they would go and do their shopping marathon, and the men would get together and do something else. And the year came for the celebration. The women planned their shopping trip, and the men decided that they were going to go sailing. And so out they went into the Great Lakes and into that sailing experience. And it was, as you can imagine, cool, cold, but it was invigorating in many ways. Until they decided it was time to come in. And as they came in, not being the best and most experienced sailors, they hit a sandbar. And in hitting that sandbar, they became marooned, shall we say. And they wondered, what in the world did they do? And so a few of them got out. They got into the water. They began to try pushing the boat, moving the boat, trying to get it up and going and out of the sand and moving forward. And as they did, the time passed. As the time passed, the sun began to set. As that happened, it became colder. And along with that, up came a storm. And so here they sat, out in the water, stuck on a sandbar, pushing on this boat, soaking wet, at one point being buffeted back and forth, slamming into one another, trying to get this taken care of. Finally, they get the boat adrift. They look at each other in the boat, and one of them looks at the other and says, "It's still better than shopping, isn't it?" There is darkness in our world, but there's always the light that is Christ. And we're reminded of that. And we understand as we find out that it is that light that gives life. It is that life that gives life. Understand that it's not just about a light that sits in a candle or a light as we think about it in the midst of all of this, but it is light that gives life. That Christ came so that we might know we are alive. That in the midst of, again, the craziness of this world, whatever might come, we are alive. And it's in that light that there is life. As again, Isaiah and John both say, in that light, there is life. And that's why it's so important. The last time I was here before you, we talked about the fact that it's that light that brings joy. And it's in that joy that there is hope and possibility. The sad thing is the darkness of sin tries to squelch out that joy. But if we can live in the light, if we can hold on to the light, if we can cherish the light, then we begin to develop that life that is full and ongoing. It isn't about us. It's about the light that fills our world, fills our heart, and again gives hope to who we are. But it's not light that is exclusive to North Park Reformed Church. And it's not light that is exclusive to only church and these walls. But it says clearly that the light shines for all to see. that Isaiah understood that that light would come and this child would come so that all might understand. That when we think about John and we read on in John, we find out that whoever might believe would be one who would see that light and be filled with that life. That Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That it was there that he brought light for all to see. So often we think this is our corner of the market. That it's, again, my light, that it's my story. And yet Jesus makes it very clear that this is a gift for all people to see, and that we, if we understand the light, and if we understand the life, become witnesses. As again, we understand in John that we become witnesses. We are not the light, but we testify to the light. We are the ones who rejoice, as it says in Isaiah, because there is a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace, that there is light in the darkness, and we testify. We rejoice, we witness, and it's because of the zeal of the Lord that there should be zeal within us. That we don't let the darkness overcome us, but we let the light break forth into the world in which we live, into our lives, into our neighbors' lives, into our co-workers' lives, that we witness, that we bring forth the light, that on a regular basis we don't sit in the darkness and hide, but we shine before the world so that they might experience the light of Jesus. That's the story of Isaiah, who understood the child was coming. That's the story of John, who understood his job was to testify to the coming of Christ. And that's our calling as a people, that we might let the light of Christ live in us and shine through us, so the darkness might be broken, and so that people might see the light that brings life in this world and life eternal in the next. You see, it's an Old Testament story. It's a New Testament story. One of the darkness, one of the light and life, one of our call to witness and to shine forth to all people. But is it our story today? Is it the way that we have celebrated Christmas so far in 2012? Is it the way that we will go back to work tomorrow or the next day and bring the light? And bring the light into the darkness, the deep darkness, so that Christ might shine forth. Is that who we are for the kingdom of God? Sometimes it's just simple reminders. And this morning I've got a couple of my favorite friends who can help us remember. Do we let our light shine? Or is it kind of conditional? A couple of my favorite guys who make it so simple for me about this whole idea of light in the world today. And hopefully, they're going to come and share.
All right, that takes care of the back of the house. You wanna go around and take the lights off the front?
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, hey, by the way, thank you. If it wasn't for you, I don't know who'd get on that roof. You are awesome.
Yeah. Is that the house you were talking about?
Oh, yeah.
They leave their lights up all year round.
They leave their lights on all year long. Here, check it out.
So they leave their lights on all year long?
All year long. And those bulbs change according to whatever holiday season it is.
Get out.
Can't, wish I could. So like
July 4th?
Those bulbs come red, white, and blue.
Thanksgiving.
Harvest colors.
Halloween.
Black and orange.
Memorial Day.
Camouflage.
Get out.
Can't, wish I could.
I bet it's embarrassing for the neighbors.
Oh, the neighbors. We're totally embarrassed. We complain about it all the time. Oh, and when there is no holiday season going on, those bowls become little red hot chili pepper lights.
What?
Yep.
Give me one good reason why you should celebrate the pepper.
Can't wish I could.
It's like your neighbors are the Motel 6.
And my wife, she's always saying, let's just leave the lights on just a little bit longer. Let's just stay in the spirit of things. But when Christmas is over, you take down the lights, am I right?
I don't know. I'm not even the right guy to ask. I don't even put lights on my house.
Why don't you put lights on your house?
I'm afraid of heights. But the question is, why do you put lights on your house?
To celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, all that kind of stuff.
There you go. That's your answer.
What?
If you don't want to celebrate Christ all year long, then take the lights down.
That's not what I was saying. You're putting words in my mouth. You're siding with my wife.
Hey, hey, I'm not siding with anyone. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you and God were, you know...
On the outs?
Yeah.
We're not on the outs. Me and God, we're very tight. We're very, very tight.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Prove it.
Prove what? Are you daring me to leave my lights on all year long?
Hey, no dare here. I'm just saying, you gonna let your little light shine?
Wait. Man the letter, my friend.
What?
Man that ladder. We're gonna get back up there and hang these lights.
No, no, no. Oh, I was just kidding.
Oh, yes. It is gonna be a proclamation of my faith.
Didn't you hear? I'm afraid of heights.
You're already up there. Honey, get the apple cider ready. Put on the Perry Como records. These lights are gonna shine. Get back here. These lights have to shine.
So you gonna leave your lights up? Have you put your lights out? Now I have to admit, there are no lights on my house. It's a pain to put lights on. It's a pain to get them all right and straight and hung up, and then they don't work, and then you gotta change them, and then it snows, and then you gotta take them down. I don't need the grief. Sometimes that's the way it is with our faith, isn't it? You mean I got to let my light shine all the time, Pastor? You mean I got to leave the lights on year round? You mean that there's darkness all the time that needs to be broken through with the light of Christ? Yep. And sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes it's difficult. But the deep, dark world so desperately needs that light. That this is a day to remember what a gift God has given us. What a wonderful light that can shine forth. What a hope and possibility that we can be part of and share with all people. The great joy of the gift of Jesus Christ. This morning, I hope and I pray that we might be people of the light, and that we might let our light shine, the light of Christ shine through us to all the world and to all people. Amen.